What did you study yesterday?
Trying to study about the bride, what it is that she's making herself ready, what that's about. That was what I was thinking I was going to talk about.
So that's what you talked about?
I think I don't really remember. Like, did I eat yesterday?
The bride has made herself ready. Well, we're still now talking about looking from the top down. And so let's go first to Colossians chapter 2. This I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body. Remember, of the sins of the flesh isn't there in the original. It's putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. Now, again, here we have this statement that is always there when there's any kind of warning against false teachers. It's that you have put off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Now, put off, as a sense, you've put it off and thrown it away. That's what the putting off means. And the whole you being dead in your sin and the uncircumcision of your flesh, as he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Now, what did he nail to the cross? He nailed the human race to the cross. If one died for all, then we're all dead. And so we put off, put away, take off and throw away the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. And what does that mean? Let's see if we can. Let's go over to chapter 3. If then you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. You are dead. But it says then, your life is hid with Christ in God. Who's the your life there? You can't be dead and have life. Can you? You are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. So who's your life? If you are dead. It's obviously, it's only Christ. He alone is our life.
Which is answered in the next verse.
When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. And then it goes on and uses this word, mortify. Mortify is a word of consideration, if you will. To mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, you mortify it by considering it dead. There is no life. That's what mortify means. So as long as you believe you have a life in time and space, then you will always, well, I shouldn't say it that way, you are still, from God's standpoint, you are still a child because you're still in the world. Now, are you still in the world? Are you giving breath to things in the world? The only way you can stop giving breath to things in the world is to find out that everything in the world agrees with this most controversial book in the Bible, Ecclesiastes. Let's look at that one more time. We look at it always, but it's a good reference point. Go to Colossians. Let's go to Job instead. Go to Job 42. Always remember that Job is just before Psalms. Everybody there? Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not. Things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in sackcloth and ashes. Now, what part of him did he abhor? And why did he abhor it? He abhorred everything about himself. and he'd heard of him by the hearing of the ear. There's no merit in that. But now mine eye seeth thee, and I repent in sackcloth and ashes. Does that ring any bells with anyone?
Yeah. You were saying that he was sin, that there was no righteousness in him.
Right.
None. May have thought so.
No, he did, because we went through all that stuff.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to... let's go to Ephesians 2. Chapter 2 of Ephesians. And you hath he quickened just means made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the powers of the air, the spirit that now worketh and the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our manner of life, conversation, in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now that's, you can't see from the top down until he has made you sit together in Christ in the heavenly places. Otherwise, you will make your judgments about life based on your senses, and you will always be deceived. Now, if you want to be seated on the mercy seat with him in Christ, not just Christ in you, then what does it say? It's only when we stop giving importance to anything in time and space that he takes us out there. My prayer for each person is that you would quickly see the emptiness and vanity and fruitlessness of all things in time and space. So you give no more breath to anything in time and space than you would to an ant. Or less, probably, because it... And that's not easy. It only comes when you see the futility of it. Remember the plaintive cry? It's repeated all over the Bible, but it says, what shall I cry? What shall I say? And when saying this, that all flesh is as grass, and the flower is as the glory of the flesh, or whatever, but the flower withereth, and the grass fadeth away. The word of God abideth forever. So the the question that you can't help but saying, if you believe it, that all flesh, everything in you that's made of flesh, is just the grass. And all your best ideas are the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth away. So you can't, my point to you is, you can't be seated on the mercy seat until you know and have said and say, all flesh is as grass. So, you know, you really, I think at the core, all of us know that everything in time and space is crap.
Yeah.
That's what the whole Bible is about. And all these scriptures that are about this subject are about you coming to the point where you're with Him in the heavenly. So it's not just Christ in you any longer. Now it's you in Christ. And that's the only way you can ever see from the top down. Because if you don't know that, if you don't see that all flesh is grass, and all the best that flesh can do is as the flower of the grass. The grass withereth and the flower fadeth away. Until you see that, you can't repent of it. But I think you fundamentally know it. At some level in you, you know it. But it's a frightening thing to say it, to believe it. Because then, as everything is by faith alone then, because there's nothing in the world that you can put confidence in. Remember, you can't serve God and mammon. Most Bibles say the word mammon just means money. It doesn't have anything to do with money, except it's one of the things that it's talking about. Mammon is a Chaldean word. And it means anything you have relied on. You can't serve God in mammon. I used to rely on my mind until I found out it was dumber than a box of rocks. Does this communicate? This is why this is why John the Baptist, his whole being, everybody thought he was Elijah. Why? Because Elijah's message is all flesh is as grass. Isaiah's message is all flesh is as grass. Ezekiel's message is all flesh is as grass. All the prophets' message is all flesh is as grass. And everything made of flesh is of grass. It's just fading away. Again, and that's really the only way you'll understand the Bible is when you look at the scriptures from the top down. And it's digital. It's not... When you're on the mercy seat, everything is... There's nothing in time and space that has any importance. Nothing. You get glimpses of it every once in a while, but God doesn't want you to have glimpses of it. He wants you to live in it. He wants you to live in that place.
What is the chemistry here, and that, and you have he quickened who were dead in trespass. So he quickened something.
Christ in us.
And so this life that we live now is not flesh. What is it if it's not flesh, but it's been quickened by God, which is different than flesh not quickened by God?
Well, flesh is just it. Flesh is nothing. Flesh is gone. If it's quickened by God.
But you're still in your body.
But you don't. You don't. Well, let's go. It's in Ephesians 2. In verse 3. Among whom. Well, let's read 1. Verse 1, 2, and 3. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespass and sins. You didn't know you're dead. Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, our manner of life. Every one of us. In the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And by nature, the children of wrath. As long as you're still fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, you're still in the flesh. That's why Galatians is so important. It says, if you build again the things that you destroyed, you make yourself the transgressor. Whether it's the flesh or the mind, you're fulfilling the desires thereof. And therefore, you're still after the course of this world. Now, this is something that each one of you needs to find out for yourself. Again, we've talked many times, the only way you can have no if-onlys or no what-ifs is to see the end of them all. Whether it's money, fame, fortune, travel, whatever it is that your mind is telling you, it's telling you a lie. Doesn't mean you're not a believer, but if we believe what we've been studying, you're a believer that's still in the world. And you're on your way to being out of the world, but you can't be out of the world from the standpoint of the spirit until you know that everything in the world is empty and fruitless and nothing. As long as you think there's something important in the world, none of this will make any sense.
So this is this transformation because we are, I do things in the world, there's no question.
I can't hear you, I'm sorry.
There's no question. I do things in the world. But if the transformation has taken place and I've been quickened by this power, I'm still in the world doing things, but they don't have the same attraction or impact. I'm doing them for a different reason than I might have when I was, before I was quickened.
Yeah, preferably you're living by faith.
You
can't live by faith and be still in the world, still doing things in the world, still giving importance to things
giving
in the world.
Importance, yeah.
See, that's important. You are still in the world and you live by faith in the world.
I don't think that's possible.
Well, I'm doing it every day. It is possible. I'm telling you it's possible.
Well, I would like you to find the scriptures that justify that.
Well, I don't have to find the scripture. I live the life and I see it And unless you're saying not being in the world is staying on the block.
Has nothing to do with the block. It's been about giving not. If any man love the world, love just is agapeo, something you give importance to.
Okay.
The love of the Father is not in him.
So you can still be in the world.
In the world, but not of the world.
Yeah.
We're all in the world, but not. Hopefully you're not of the world.
Well, that's the conversation here.
And if you're of the world, then it says the love of the Father has left you.
Yeah.
That's why. I mean, if you're a friend of the world in any way, you're an enemy of God. If you give anything importance to the world, anything in the world importance, then God has temporarily left you. Because you've got to come to the place where you know everything in the world is empty and vain.
I don't think God leaves you.
Huh?
I don't believe that God leaves you. He says that I will never leave you nor forsake you.
Well, let's see to see what the scripture says. Go to 1 John.
Well, that's a scripture too.
Huh?
That's a scripture as well, Uli.
Stop it.
Well, which do you decide to believe?
I believe that God will never leave you because it's a process. You can't all of a sudden just abandon everything. It's a process, a slow thing.
I agree with everything you're saying, but okay. I'm just saying, look at what it says in 1 John. Verse 15, chapter 1, chapter 2, verse 15, excuse me. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And again, love is the verb form of agape. It means give importance to. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, was not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away, and he that... and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever.
I'm just saying that it doesn't say that he leaves you, because that's a dangerous thing to say, in my opinion.
Well, what does it say?
It says the love of the Father is not in him, but you're to say that God has temporarily left you, that's not...
Okay, well, let's forgive me for saying that. The love of the Father is not in him.
Okay. Yeah.
And let's go to Jude.
Just before we leave there, it's like the challenge here of this statement is discerning, which shouldn't take much discernment, what would be the flesh maybe trying to resurrect itself. And let's see. Where do we go?
Go to James. I said Jude, but I meant I do that all the time.
So we're in James?
No, we're with to Jude. I'm sorry.
You said Jude.
We're in James, not Jude. That's what I'm saying. I screwed up. I said Jude when I should have said James.
Okay. Any particular chapter?
Chapter 4. From whence cometh wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not, because you ask not. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace when he saith, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. So if you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. If you give importance to something in the world, then the love of the Father is not in you. Now, What does that mean? I believe it means what it says, because all the scriptures say this, in my opinion. I'm not saying you should, everybody is there now, and that's not my business to say, but it is my business to preach the end result of faith, so that you live by faith alone. And you give no breath, no importance to anything in the world. Am I there? No. But there's certainly very little in the world that I, you know, that has any meaning to me. I'm not even sure what it is that has meaning to me in the world. The only thing that has meaning to me is not getting Alzheimer's. And that's my own sin. But I confess it daily, because I used to be able to remember everybody's phone number and everything about it. And now I can't even remember the guy I was talking about. And it's troubling me, and it shouldn't. But it does. Pain is troubling. Pain is driving me nuts. And when I'm sane, I can say, don't deliver me. I mean, I understand. But when I'm in that pain, very rarely do I ever say that. I say, get me the hell out of this. But I know and confess as sin that statement, get me out of pain. Now, that's beyond the core of faith. I mean, I don't even know how that came about. Well, I told you all that story many times, but still don't know. It certainly wasn't my voice that was saying it. But I'm asking you to consider that what I'm preaching is right, and that you're not being condemned for anything. But look at what you're doing with whatever it is, whatever you're giving importance to in the world, and say, is it worth it? Is it worth me giving any importance to that? If the promise of God is real, and He said He'll give us anything that we ask for, if our eye is single, our whole body is full of light. But if our eye sees that we have toil to do or work to do, then that darkness that's in us is great. It's greater than the darkness beforehand. As I've said, I'm not saying I am at any of these places, but I'm saying that's the end result of faith. Amen?
Yeah.
All right. Take it, big guy.